Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
My son and his girlfriend have recently moved in with us. They are trying to save for a house and we're struggling because their rent was so high. They have been living here for the last 4 months, and to be honest, it's been great to have my son back living with us again. They haven't been paying anything towards the house. My husband and I have been covering the bills. But he came to me last week saying that he thinks they should be giving, or they should be paying up. The husband, obviously. Our bills have gone up quite a lot since they moved back in, because before, it was just the two of us. But I think it's too much to ask them to pay up, because they're trying to save, Niall. And that was the whole point of them moving in with us. My husband and I have argued a lot about this recently. My daughter, who lives with her partner, agrees with my husband that they should be paying something, even a small amount. I just think it's wrong, Niall. They stop renting their own place so they can save enough money to buy a home in the future. It could take them years to save, and with the current cost of living crisis, I think it would be cruel for me to ask them to pay some money towards their upkeep. We don't necessarily need the extra money, by the way, just to point out. We're okay. I need your advice. Is my husband right? Should they be paying up, even a small amount? Or is this just ridiculous to even ask them to pay? After all, they are our he is our child. Now, look, it's a bit of a quandary, isn't it? So he comes back to the house to use mammy and daddy so he can save for a mortgage. And I understand how difficult that is for young people. It's not easy. Particularly, most young people will never afford to buy a home in this city, for example, in Dublin, or indeed in Cork, Limerick, or Galway, for that matter, because prices have just gone so high. They say you should never spend more than a third of your salary on your accommodation and where you sleep and live. Now, if you're to go by Irish standards, in Dublin in particular, with the average house renting for about three-bedroom house for about 2,200, that means you're going to have to earn $6,000, which most people don't earn. So realistically, you know, it's going to be difficult. Now they're going to save for about 4 or 5 years to get up the 30 or 40 grand deposit they'll need, depending on how much money they'll earn. But if you take rent off them, well, then they're not going to have that money to save, really, are they? Or certainly they'll have less to save. But then again, should they really have a free ride? Is that really what life is about? Should you be teaching your own children that life can be free sometimes? I don't know. It's a bit of an argument. But let me know what you think. Should they be paying up? The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Niall.
Sharon, I should call you Sharon the Dancer after today.
Oh, I'll take that. Yes. Sharon Dance.
Sharon
Dance. That's my handle.
Yeah, Sharon was telling us earlier on the podcast that she's a dancer. She likes a bit of dancing. Well,
I've had a few things to say about the last subject, Niall, the nighttime economy. You know, if you're in a few dance groups and you meet up and dance, much better than that out late at night off your face, drinking and stumbling around the dance floor and, you know.
Oh, I get you, yeah. Okay, I can see where that's going.
I had a ball yesterday, an absolute ball at a dance. And you know, you're safe. You know, it was in a hotel and you're dancing with other dancers and the camaraderie, like, because you're meeting people every few weeks and you can't wait to see them, you know?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I should the nightclub industry paid my wages for, you know, 30 years. So I'm not going to get bad about it.
There wasn't as much drugs around then, though. There's a lot more drugs, people taking drugs and stuff now. And dance is an amazing
don't be too harsh on the young people. They were taking drugs back in the 90s. So when I worked in the nightclubs, they were banging off ecstasy and all sorts of things. You know what I mean? Anyway, getting back to this situation, like, if you know, should she charge the 23-year-old and his girlfriend for living in the house?
Now, I've had something of a similar position. But look, I think a nominal fee. I think pay for their food and, you know, whoever's cleaning the house, and well, hopefully it'll be shared, but if the mother or father happened to be at home and was doing the house, then give them a nominal amount just to be respectful, and then and then let them save the rest. But now, Niall, it's different to yours and my day, where I mean, I thought twice about buying a lipstick. Everything we had went into that pot so we could get out as quick as we could and get that mortgage. And there was no nails. See the girls? No getting the nails done. No fake eyelashes. And the fellas, let your other half cut your hair. They can do just, and a lot of the times, they can keep it. neat as the barbers, just go to the barbers the odd time.
Put a bowl on your head and cut around it.
And, and don't drink, don't be drinking in pubs, costing your bloody fortune. If you really want to get that house, and
you have to sacrifice.
Long,
you have to sacrifice. Yeah, I know. I know somebody recently. Somebody I know who has gone through this recently, and in fairness to her, she didn't spend a bean. She was literally eating rice and pizzas constantly all the time, even though she earned a good money. And within 2 years, managed to save enough for a deposit for a house.
Yes, they can do it.
Oh, you can do it. Yeah, it can be done. And this idea that, you know, young people have it hard. Now, they do have it hard. Don't get me wrong. Houses are expensive. There's no doubt about that. And it is tough. But it sure, look, it was tough when I was young too. You know, houses were a lot cheaper than they are now. But then again, we didn't earn as much money. So, you know.
And expectations are gone sky high as well. You know, like everyone's house I go into now is grey. Grey, 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 grey. Everything is grey. Even if you didn't need a new whatever.
Yeah, and everybody wants a double American fridge, and they want the top of the range marble kitchen, and everybody wants two cars in the garden, and a patio furniture and fires out the back garden. And
you can have your little patio furniture cheap enough. You can have a lovely little garden. It doesn't have to be exorbitant, you know? I mean, what should be exorbitant is your family life.
Yeah, I know. Everybody wants the extras nowadays. They want the best. And I understand why that competition exists in society. But you can't always have the best. Back to the kid, the 23-year-old, living in the house. So he's not paying anything at all at the moment. So the average rent for them to stay in a house would probably be about £1,000 each. So what should the mother do? Should she say, give me 500? I mean, they're using electricity, they're using heat. You know what I mean? They're eating food. I would like to think to buy a bit of food.
Depends what the parents can afford.
Well, in fairness, we don't necessarily need the extra money. We're comfortable enough. So,
Put it away for them. Put it away for them, even. Get them to give it to you, and you can always give a little bit back at the end if you want. But it's the principle of them paying for their stay. You can always put it by. You don't need it, and give it back to you and say, here, get yourselves a fridge or whatever, if that's, you know.
Yeah.
But the respect should be there to pay a certain amount of rent.
Okay, so your mom here now, Sharon, how much do you want?
Yeah.
How much do you want?
Oh, God, I'll be in trouble now. I think what you said, how much should that work out a week, Niall? About 100 and...
500 quid is 120 a week.
Not 500. 500 sounds reasonable.
Yeah, okay.
Me now.
Okay, we'll stay there. Pauline. Hi, Pauline.
Hi, Niall.
Good, okay. Yeah, well, there you go. Sharon says 500 quid a week.
Right, now, is this a couple living with their parents or a single person living with their parents?
It's a couple, the son and the girlfriend, because they want to save for a house.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't have that. But anyway, let's say that was the situation.
Oh, you wouldn't have that?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Happen. Why?
No, I wouldn't. I don't agree with two people living together who aren't married. I did it myself. I would never do it again. But anyway.
But you did it yourself,
Pauline.
Well,
I know that.
Yeah, but then you can't give out to somebody else for doing it if you did it yourself.
Yeah, but we saved for a year, and we got our own house in a year. And I am so grateful that my husband's mother let us live with him for a year to get our own home.
Yeah, I had bought my own home, and we were, I think, engaged, and I think 6 years going out at that time.
Yeah.
But when we moved in together, but I had bought my own home. But the thing I would do, I would say, no, I would not let two single people live under my roof. I personally wouldn't. But if one wanted to save, or let's say it was a situation where it was a couple, they would have to pay their own way staying with me. And what they handed up, I would match for them. That's how I would like to do it.
So you'd essentially give it back to them. You'd essentially give it back.
No, I'd match it because I know that they'd make a better effort to save. Plus pay their way.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting. That you would match their money. Yeah.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I do believe that people need to help or dig out. And I do believe that parents, I know people don't agree with this, but I believe that parents... It didn't happen for me, but I think nowadays, I think parents should help and should guide their children how to save and where to save, not the banks, the credit union, because you're buying shares and you're lending to each other. And I think it's
but parents don't always have the money, Pauline. I mean, that's all well and good if you have money, but most parents don't, a lot of parents don't have money.
Well, I just think it's too difficult for kids nowadays. I think it's been made more difficult for them. And I think shacking up together under one roof is even, that's probably even more difficult as well.
I mean, my mother used to always say, if you want to know me, come live with me.
I just know my opinion on that is that that's the wrong way to do things.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah. I also respect that view, and people have that view.
Yeah.
I think that's
People make mistakes. I think they think because it's lovely that you're living together and all that kind of thing that it's going to work out. And I don't think so anymore. I think the best thing to do is to stay single, do your saving in your separate household. Hopefully your parents will help you both, which would even be better if both sets of parents did. Pay your way and maybe you go a little bit lighter on them, but match what they hand up, match what they
And when,
say.
When can you move in together when you get married?
Well, I'm just saying if I had the time back, that's the way it would be.
Mm. And what about those who don't get married anymore, Polly?
Well, I don't agree. I believe in marriage.
So do I. I think marriage is important. I believe in marriage.
Yeah, it makes you different. It makes your relationship different from anybody else. It's the highest order of any relationship when you think about it. But what do I think about if they don't get married? I know legally and all that kind of thing, there's that side of it. But I think personally from my faith, yeah, you get married. I think.
Okay, hang on both of you there a second. Just let me go to Jessica. Jessica, hi. Living in Sim with your girlfriend. How dare you? Sorry, Jessica.
I didn't say that.
I did. That was a joke.
No, don't get me wrong. Like, if we go tomorrow, we would. But unfortunately, just with the way things are, it's just not feasible.
No, I know. I'm only joking with you.
I give me my upkeep. Like, why wouldn't I? Even when I was unemployed, I gave her upkeep for me job seekers. Like, it's only fair. Like, if she wanted to, she could have said, right, you're 18, out into the big bad world by yourself. But, like, she's not. Like, she's letting me still stay under the same roof. Like, so obviously I'm going to do my bit and give money towards it.
And are you living there on your own, or is your girlfriend living with you, or?
Oh, no, so we're still living, like, in our family home.
Separately.
At the
okay.
Yeah.
All right,
you
okay.
know now what?
Well, that's nice. There you go. Pauline, she's living by your rules. Yeah.
That's this is just my opinion now. I've done this, you know what I mean? That's just the way I see it.
I'm not having a go. I know I'm quite respectful of that view. I think that's a nice, I don't think it's a very moral view to have. But Jessica, so...
Can I interject
for
a minute?
Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
What if one party is maybe, for example, from another country and would be paying an awful lot in rent? To know both people mightn't be living at home.
We just do the logical and the best thing, but that's just the way that I'd like. If they were my children, that's the way I'd like it now. I just think.
And what would you do if your child's partner, say if they were from another country, what would you think about that? And they were paying 2,000 a month rent. Sure, like what would you do then? I suppose the girl move out with him. I don't know.
No, you do the logic. I wouldn't want them living under my roof together as a couple. That's the point I'm making.
I know.
I would hope that they would not want that either. But I do think that I think it's going to get to the stage where people have to help their kids out because it is becoming more difficult for children. But ideally, what parents should try and aim to do is to give their children a mortgage instead of banks.
You said that now, Pauline, and I agree with you if they have the money. But most parents don't have the money to do that.
Well, if you teach your children to save all the years that they're grown up and give them a good run at it, it might be possible.
Well, they might get a deposit, all right. But sorry, Jessica, how much should this couple be paying the parents? He's 23. He has his girlfriend living with him now in the mother's house so they can save for a mortgage. They gave up paying their rent in the apartment, obviously, whatever they had, and they've moved back into the mother's. So how much should she be charging them?
Well, in my situation, like just myself, I give $350 at the end of every month. And I think that's feasible. So I think for the fact that, like, keep in mind, if it was just a son coming back, I'd say no problem. But the fact that, like,
there's two of them.
You know, him and his girlfriend. that's double, like, everything now on the bills. Like, so, sorry.
Yeah.
It's going to have, I would honestly say, either 150 to 200 each. Like, I don't care how harsh that sounds. You're lucky to have any sort of roof over your head. It's going to come with payments. Like, even when you're out in the big bad world, you have to pay your mortgage repayments. You have to give your rent to your landlord. That's just life.
Yeah, even but the mother's argument is the reason they moved back in with her was so they didn't have to pay any bills, so they could start to save for a house. So she feels she's helping them by letting them stay free gratis in her house.
No, but see, I'm probably going to sound kind of condescending saying this, but I feel like if there are parents out there who let their adult children live at home, no, like, upkeep, no nothing, you're more or less going to be your carpet to get walked on. There are people out there who will take advantage of that, being like, oh, lovely, this is a handy deal.
Yeah, like, I'll never move out, yeah.
You need a bit of real-life experience.
If that was the case, now the other option would be that if you ask them to hand up money, that would be saved for them. It would be, and that would maybe even be matched for them. That would be probably an incentive.
Yeah.
It's about incentivizing
them. Keep it as a nest egg for them.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't keep it.
Another option.
No good for the
another option
either.
Would be.
No. Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
Another option would be to, if you have the room out the back, get a nice little cabin. I know a lot of people are doing
like
that.
Now. Don't know if I'd
wouldn't?
Like. No, I don't think I'd like my family living in a cabin out the back.
No, but if it was only for, like, you know, until they got a house.
Yeah.
Everybody
it depends
have
on
a cabin
how big your garden
garden
was, I suppose. Huh?
Everybody should have a cabin in their back garden for guests and visitors.
Yeah.
Never know. Or maybe for an elderly parent who will in time want their own space but want to be with you.
Yeah.
Everybody should have that. In fact, that should
be
the
law. Yeah, I think so too. A little, I think there should be a little house down the end of the garden for whatever family wants to live in.
None of this nursing home malarkey anymore.
Yeah,
what was that?
Yeah, none of this nursing home malarkey, she said.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And totally agree with that.
People throughout
great.
This country should do something about that and make it law.
Yeah.
Like, you have to provide
so
something for your parents.
Yeah, and then they have their independence and yet they have the family nearby.
Absolutely.
Brilliant, yeah.
Couldn't be better.
Totally agree
should
with
be,
you.
It should be law.
And
yes.
So would you kind of give the hint, Pauline, at some point, if as Jessica says, they were hanging around too long? Would you kind of, you know, you wouldn't want them living with you forever.
Sense, like,
yeah.
You'd have to.
Keep
well,
in mind
you,
that they're sponging off your electricity, your heat and your everything. Like,
I wouldn't even think of it in terms of that. The woman obviously has a good heart and wants to help them out. It would have to be set down and gone through it. Probably a financial...
A contract.
A financial advisor.
You'd have to have a contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know about a contract, but certainly a plan. A financial plan and a time frame within
what's
which...
What's wrong with giving them a contract to say, right, both of you sign
a contract between you and them. Yeah.
To say that they're going to give X amount and they're going to, do their part.
Maybe.
Yeah, to make them accountable.
Want that, it would be possible, but I'm just saying... just general that you have maybe a financier sit down with you, work out a time frame, work out a plan for saving and whatever else can be contributed by both parents or both couples or both sets of parents and a time frame and a plan. So it's just, you know, just everybody know what they're doing and where they're going. But I definitely think people should do their best to stop going to banks and to help their families and help their children.
Yeah.
You know, and stop this nonsense of going out and borrowing and being strung up to bricks and mortar, dropping their kids into depression. The whole thing is a mess.
Yeah,
and
it's a mess. And the children are suffering when both parents are working full time, you know.
And the parents are suffering. They're kissing the faces off
and
the kids.
Parents are
handing them over
too.
In the morning and picking them up in the evening and full of guilt, kissing the faces off them, but have to put them to bed when they go home. The whole thing is a mess.
No, I we spoke about this, Pauline, the other night, and I agreed with you with the way the system has been set up at the moment. Stay there, ladies, if you can. Let me just go to Mickey. Hi, Mickey.
Niall, how's things? Jim a tattoo from Guidor.
Yeah, okay. Do you think that you would be charging your kids out to live with you?
Look, as I was told, the woman that rang me, I'm what, 41 now. I left school when I was 15, but I wanted to leave school. And my mother said to me that if you don't get a job, you're not allowed to leave school. So I went away. Well, I asked my dad first because he had his own kind of building company, you know, block laying. And he was like, yeah, not a hope. You're a lazy fucker. And I went around, went to local supermarkets, one of them knew my family, and he says, oh, I'll give you a chance down in my, he had like one of the big bulk buy places. And not a bother. And my first wage, we had to hand up money from my mother and father.
Yeah, well, it's quite normal to have to hand up money. I did that too. My first job, I was earning 50 quid a week, and I gave me ma 25.
But that was it. I think my first wage, I think it was back in that day, I think I was getting £180 at the time, punt. And I was handing up 80. And as it continued, obviously, through my life, I was different parts of Ireland, wherever and that. And sometimes I used to have to stay back with my mum and dad's, wherever we were living. And I never had to be asked. I always handed up money. But just going back to that, if you look at it, they think, now, well, we shouldn't have to. It's not a question about shouldn't have to, because them living in them house now, obviously their parents, the bills are going to go up, the electricity, et cetera, is going to go up. So they shouldn't feel like, oh, it's a question where should we hand up money? They should morally hand up money because it's the parents that's paying the bills.
It's respectful.
Yeah, but let me just go back to Jessica on one point here. You know, Jessica, the mother is saying, you know, it's a bit unfair. He's our son. And the whole purpose of him moving in was to save money. And if I'm taking money off him, sure, that's not going to serve any purpose. And that's, do you understand the kind of point she's making?
I do, don't get me wrong. It's almost like kind of like biting the hand that's feeding in a way, or well, even as I say, you have to lose money to make money, even, you know, the way. So if he has to give his, if the man has to take rent from his son, and then he can still save with his partner, because it's not just him saving alone, like it's the two of them.
Well, yeah, he can still save, but he won't save as much. Obviously, if he's giving his mother 500 quid,
they're obviously saving a lot more money, unless what they're renting.
Roof better than no roof. Well,
yeah. Yeah, I know, Mickey. I know what you're saying, Mickey.
Imagine how much you're going to have to pay if the, look, because I used to live in Swords, as you know, Niall, and the price of rent in Swords now, right? What are you talking for?
1,000 quid a room.
In Swords now a week.
Yeah.
You'd be talking up to a grand a week.
No, it wouldn't be a grand a week, but it'd be 1,000 quid a room for a month, yeah.
1,000 a month. I checked one out last week.
For a room.
And it was 2,000 a month.
For a house.
For an apartment.
No way.
Yeah.
No so, way.
Yeah.
You know, when you come to that, they should be expected, not expected, but morally, they should be handing up something.
Okay. Well, look, I have to take a break. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. Sorry, I forgot the phone number. 087. Yeah, I've been saying it for God knows how long. You think I'd remember it first time, wouldn't you? 087-188-0008 is the number if you want to text us. Send us a quick text if you want to come on, by the way, or WhatsApp. And you can do that right now. And the question we're asking is, based on this story, which is a mother who wrote the story, she's having an argument with her husband because her 23-year-old son has moved into the house with the girlfriend. He's been there now a few months. They're living there. The reason they moved in was they were paying rent and they were struggling because they want to save for a house at the same time. So they move back into the mother's house, obviously by her invitation, to save money for the house of their dreams at some point. And the mother is saying, that's great, no problem. But the sister and the husband are saying, you got to charge them some rent. And she's kind of going, well, if I charge them rent, that defeats the purpose of them moving back in to save money. They don't earn that much, you know. And the husband's saying, well, you know, our bills have gone up. There was just the two of us here before they came along, and now our bills have doubled. They're using electricity. You know, they're probably eating food and, you know, using heating, and when the mother and father are not there and they're there. So the bills will go up. So they should be paying something. Yeah, most people are saying to us, including Sharon and Jessica, and even Pauline to some extent, although she says you should match it and give it back to them. She, you know, they should be paying something. Sharon said 500 quid. Jessica, she's paying her mother 350 a month. you know, to live in the house, and it's just her on her own, not with a partner. So should you be paying something? Or do you think, well, look, you owe it to your kid to help them save? Pauline, stay with me. Let me go to Mick as well. Mick, hi, how are you?
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Good. Mick, well, I mean, should you charge them something?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. Why? I mean, if the whole idea of them moving back in was to save money, you're kind of defeating that purpose then, aren't you?
Well, out of respect for their parents let them come back in. Like, once they're 18 years of age, technically they're adults.
Yeah, and they're working. Yeah.
And apparently, both of them are working. Mommy, I think she's a bit of a mommy's baby, to be quite honest with you. But mommy wants to meet and kind of excuse the pun for breastfeeding him while daddy's sitting out the cold trying to get a few pills. He's 100% right. 100% right. He has a sister that's out and she's able to manage. Now, we don't know if his sister is with somebody or whatever. She's out. But I'd say if the tide's returned, Mammy might let
sister
in, but let the
boy,
the our son in.
Right, so you think he's a
mammy's
boy?
Oh, absolutely. Sure, there wouldn't be an argument unless there was.
Oh.
That's not the issue. Yeah.
Sorry, Pauline, what are you saying? Hang on, Mick, what are you saying, Pauline?
I said that's not the issue. We're talking about a situation that could be in many people's households today, where they have children who are paying rent who are choosing to live together. They're making life difficult on themselves to begin with by doing that because they're out renting. Rent is dead money. I'd sooner have them under my roof, not living as a couple, but under my roof, even living separately, rather than paying, throwing their money to somebody else, lining somebody's pocket. I would have them pay their share of the utilities in my household. And after that, I would want them to save. And if I could, I would match what they save.
No, I disagree with that.
Why do you agree? Well, I think it's very kind and generous. But why would you disagree, Mick?
Look, to talk to me, right? He left the house. I was off the door, and he couldn't manage. Mommy and Daddy took him back in, right?
I don't think it's a case of he couldn't manage. But they said they were struggling because of the rent was so high, and they wanted to save for a house at the same time. So you know they couldn't save.
Yeah, but he has to learn to stand on his own two feet. Like, he's obviously in the house there the last few months now. Daddy has the right attitude, in my opinion. Throw a few quid into the house, and that way when he goes, he won't know to leave in his pocket, right? But when he goes back into the big bad world and goes by his apartment or his house, he'll be wondering, geez, all my money's gone every month. Why is that? Because it'll be a shock to him, because he's living off of mommy and daddy.
This is a worst case scenario now. This is the situation young people end up in because I believe, I'm not saying people don't, but I believe it's very important to teach children from the time they receive money to have a little account and put 10% of everything they save that they receive away throughout their younger years even until they're teenagers and when they begin to work. And if you can get them out of school at 15 to work, well and good. They're in school far too long for nothing.
Oh, okay. So you don't believe in them? What about going to college and stuff?
No, I don't.
You don't believe in going to college?
I believe in them fulfilling their destiny and following their passion and making it maybe...
But most people nowadays, most kids nowadays go to college because they want to fulfill their destiny.
Well, if that's what they want. But if my child turns around, I think the legal age to leave is 16. I'm not sure.
16, yeah, 16.
My child turned around and said they wanted to be a chef, they wanted to be a mechanic, they wanted to be this, that, or the other, a trade, or if they wanted to start a little business, having saved, I would allow them to leave school as soon as possible.
I don't know, Pauline, because I was in that situation many years ago with my own son, who wanted to leave school to go and work. It was a decent job he was being offered because he was a clever kid, right? And I wouldn't let him. I insisted he went to college to do a computer science degree. He's so glad now that I insisted because he's in a really high-paying job now, travels the world, and he's a very lucky individual to have the job that he has. So in saying that, I think you have to sometimes encourage your kids, because kids can make stupid mistakes. And our job as parents is to guide them.
You would have sensed why he wanted to leave school. You probably sensed that he wanted to leave school just to get out of school. I'm talking about a child.
No, not necessarily. I think he liked the idea of the job and wanted to make money too. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, if I had children today and they wanted to leave school at 16 or whatever the legal age is to pursue a trade or a career in anything, I would absolutely encourage them to do so.
Mick, would you let your kids leave school at 16?
If they're allowed, yeah. If it's the law.
No, well, hang on. Mick, would you?
It depends on what career. If they're going into a trade or an apprenticeship that they really, really want to do, yes.
Okay.
And they're going to follow a career onto it. Yes, yes. Definitely 100%. To leave school and sit around and play the Xbox, absolutely no way.
Yeah.
I agree.
It depends on what they want to
do. Oh, no. And I couldn't agree more. We need more tradesmen and women. We need, you know, more people going into apprenticeships, you know, mechanics, bricklayers, plasterers, plumbers, electricians. We need to push that more. But would you not get them to wait just till they do the leaving cert?
No. For what?
Well, do you not think it's handy just to have that qualification, that piece of paper?
No.
Okay.
The leaving certificate, absolutely not. If they made a mistake, if they leave school at 15 or 16 and pursue a career, sorry, or a trade, and they're happy with that, and maybe they'll change their mind. They can always go back to school as a mature student. I think it's at 21 and start over. I would get them out of the system, the school system, the education system. They only come out into the production units anyway, as quick as possible.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you, Pauline, that there's a lot of emphasis on kids going to college that shouldn't be going to college. There are a lot of kids doing college courses that don't even want to be in those college courses. And they're doing it because mommy and daddy expect them to do it. And that's the only reason they're doing it. And that's wrong. I agree with you.
That is wrong. But if they have a little passion or they want to pursue something or they want to try, I'd let them. They can always go back to college when they're a mature student. That's the way it works now. The schools are just throwing out little production units and they're 17, 18, 19, whatever it is, when they could have been doing it from the time they're 15 or 16. And out making their money and making a new life for themselves, becoming independent. That's what we want them to do, not be stuck in a system. And in any case, in this country, we have winter 9 months of the year. Then we've Christmas made it with Halloween for 3 months of the year, dark most of the time. And the kids are only in the door and they just sit down at the kitchen table and do more homework. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Okay. And I find your views very interesting. They're not mad as people might think. But stay there, Pauline. Let me go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Okay, we're slightly off on a tangent there. We'll come back to that again another time.
Yeah, I would ban homework. I would ban homework in this country. We don't have the daylight hours for children to play. It's more important that they go out and play.
Okay.
Than sit, look. Doing more work.
And Pauline, there's a whole topic in everything you're talking about there, and I find it really interesting and intriguing. We'll come back to it again. But Maureen, just getting back to this particular kid in the house, should he be paying rent?
Well, they should be contributing. They should at least contribute or offer, to the electric or groceries.
Yeah.
Or bin charges or something like that.
All
you know, if the two of them are working, you know, I wouldn't have anyone in my house like that just staying for nothing, because those days are over.
Do we not? Some people would argue that we kind of owe it to our kids to give them a dig out, particularly at the moment when it's so tough to try and save for a house.
Well, no, actually, parents don't owe it to their children. They have reared them. They have given them a good schooling. They're out in the world on their own. They're on their own 2 feet. No, you don't, actually. But I would have them contribute at least something. You know, I wouldn't have them staying for nothing. Like, it wouldn't be a free ride.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so too, yeah. They're definitely.
And would you help them when they're saving for a house? Would you give them money towards that house?
If I had it, I'd give something. But I wouldn't, if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be able to give it.
Yeah.
But they'd know all that beforehand. But I mean, before they moved in, it would be said, well, you're not staying for nothing. You're going to be contributing. So I'd have it sorted out before they ever moved in.
Yeah,
and that clears the air. You know?
And I agree with you all. But I'm just going by the email, and I don't want to upset this poor woman who wrote in the email. Her feeling is the reason they moved back in with her and out of the rental apartment they were in was because they were renting, they couldn't save money. So they moved back in with her.
She's perfectly right. She's perfectly right. They're only lining somebody else's pocket. They should pay their share of utilities and save hard. And if she can, she should match it or contribute and get them on their own feet and keep them away from banks if possible, into credit unions where you're buying shares and look after each other. And the next generation, if you can afford to do it. We have to stop depending on the government for these things. We want to become independent of the government. We want to work, not stay at home and look at computers all day and our kids stuck at kitchen tables after hours of schoolwork every day into the dark of the evening. Enough of this nonsense. And then nursing homes. Take back our families, never mind our careers.
Okay, yeah, sorry. And Maureen, so the husband's arguing with the wife now, saying they need to pay something. And he's kind of suggesting, well, earlier on as well, the Sharon suggested 500 quid a week, or a month, should I say. 500 a month. Would that be fair?
Well,
for the two of them.
500 for the two of them. Well, I suppose it would be fair enough. It is for the two of them, right?
Yeah.
If it was just that they were paying, then they're not paying any utilities. They're not buying food or anything like that. That would be on, if it was me, that would be on me.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think I'd even be charging that much. I'd rather they just contributed to take over maybe the electric bill, we'll say, and I don't have to pay it, or the bins, and I don't have to pay them, something like that. That's a worry off me. I'll do this.
Yeah, but you, I mean, you told us the night, Maureen, you look after your grandchild most of the week. You know,
I do.
Yeah, when your daughter's in work or whatever.
But I look after her in her home.
But still, you're not charging for that facility, which would normally cost money.
No, I'm not. But she did offer. You see, she offered to pay, but I said to her, you know what? Don't just get me the coal like through the winter there, and that it worked out fine that way for me. But like, I never asked her for money, like for mine and my grandchildren.
Mm.
But I'm going to pick up something what Pauline said. She said that we should be teaching our children how to manage money. And she's right, because my granddaughter now, she'll be 12 in May. And she's a dinger with money. She came out with a very good one the other evening to me. Her mother said she'd give her some money. You know, she wanted to do housework. She gave her this pocket money, right? So my granddaughter, Charlie, said, well, she said, Nana, I was checking my fund. She said, I'm running low.
Okay.
So she's well up on the saving of the money. And last year, our certain friends, they were selling lemonade and then a little table set up and made little cupcakes.
It's amazing,
and
isn't it? That kids are so, they're so savvy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're all for,
yeah.
Yeah, they're all for making the few. And then to go to the schooling. She's a fabulous actress. And designer,
giving them pocket money.
Yep.
Giving them pocket money teaches them how to do their chores or whatever their little jobs are, and teaches them, you can teach them out of that how to save. It's very important that they're taught these things. I used to call it streetwise math.
See, parents don't do that anymore, Pauline, and you're right. And I used to, you know, my dad used to give us money. Now it wasn't much, it was like 50 pence. Which was a bit of the time, to enough to buy a couple of bags of crisps, ice pops, or whatever we wanted to buy. But here's the thing. But we had to do something for it.
Yeah,
so I used to dry the dishes, and my sister would wash the dishes. And we had to do something for that every week. And we'd get. Yeah. But parents don't do that anymore with kids. They just give them money.
But Pauline, just a second. I heard you talking about the education. No, you see, my granddaughter's med. She wants to be a guard, right? That's what she wants to be, a detective.
Yeah.
But she's also a very good artist, and I'm trying to encourage her, and she's a great designer. I'm trying to encourage her to take that and keep at it, because I said to her one day, look, that will be a little bit of extra income for you on the side, because if you go into design, people like to get their homes designed, right?
Yeah.
Even clothes. So I'm trying to encourage her to keep that up, because that could be a sideline for her. Then it could be a career for her.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get her to listen.
That is a gift. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. She's
that's
very gifted. Very gifted.
Not every guard can design something. That's a fact. So that's a gift that she has, and it should be encouraged.
Yeah, she's very
gifted. That's probably her passion, you know?
Okay, well, both of you stay there just for a second, because I want to go to Niamh as well. Niamh, hi, how are you?
Hi.
Niamh, okay, getting back to the original question, should the mother be charging something? Even though she doesn't really want to, should she be charging them something for staying there?
I think so, but not rent.
No.
I think she shouldn't be out pocket the mother or father in any other way. It depends on their circumstances, really. Okay, I think they should be paying some because I think they'll have more respect for the home if they're paying a little. You know?
But not too much.
Not too much. No, I wouldn't charge them much at all. If they're saving, I wouldn't charge them much. But I always say if the parents are paying out too much money than they would normally, too much, you wouldn't mind a little bit more, then no, that's a no for me. Now, if they've plenty of money, I'd still take a little off them, but not rent, because they don't need that, you know? Do you know what I mean? If they own their house or they're paying their own way, they don't need to take rent off them. But the other bills, they do have to contribute to, you know?
So what, like just pay a little bit off and it's just a bill? Yeah.
As Maureen said, even one bill or whatever, or one, you know, to help out a little bit.
What do you say to people who say they should be paying rent?
Yeah.
Is that a bit steep?
Not in this day and age, no, not at all. It's too expensive. They're not going to get anywhere. They can't. How are they going to save for their own places? It's just shocking.
Mm.
Price of living as well, you know?
Yeah.
Now, can I just.
If I could afford it, I'd help out as much as I could. But yeah. I wouldn't take rent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Pauline, go ahead.
Yeah, can I just say this on the subject of pocket money? It does teach the children to do their little chores and their jobs around the place or whatever you call them. It does teach them, you can teach them out of that they must save 10% or whatever. And it also makes it possible for the children to plan to do little things themselves, like to go to the pictures on a Saturday or this kind of thing. So they know that they reap a reward. And this kind of thing is not taught to children. I used to always call it streetwise math. It should be taught to children, but it's not taught to children. Most children, when they grow up and go to look for a house, they haven't a clue where to start.
Well, that's because Mammy and Daddy have been given the money for nothing for the last 7 or 8 years, since they were 12 or 13 years of age. Every time they want it, they put their hand out, and they don't expect anything in return, so they think that life is free. They think that money comes.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying to you, most kids nowadays think money just comes for nothing. So they don't learn the value of money. They're just given it by their parents. There's nothing in return for it. Whereas we had to do something in return for it.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is teaching children how to save and how to go about buying a house, how to save for their deposit. They're not taught these kind of things in school. They should be, but they're not. But I think parents should teach it to them, should bring them to the bank and show them, this is how you open an account. This is how you plan for the future. This is how you put 10% of everything you get, whether it's birthday present or otherwise, and this is what you're going to have at the end of it. They're not taught how to do this. In fact, I think they're kept thick deliberately. They don't need to know algebra. They need to know how to survive.
No, you're saying a lot of wise things tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. Neve, you know, I can't disagree with most of what Pauline is saying. You know, she's absolutely correct. She's speaking sense. Do you think that our children have just become too reliant on their parents? Maybe.
Oh, definitely. I hope I'm wrong that it's not most children, but it seems that way. They're given their little revolutes now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they have their own Revolut cards. Mind you, look, that's not an issue. I think we have to accept in the world we live in that, you know, cash is not as popular as it used to be, obviously. And we have to accept that whether you like it or you agree with it or disagree with it is irrelevant. It's just the way it is, right? So we have to teach children to bank, as Pauline said, responsibly, to use their debit card, because most people use cards, and kids nowadays have mobile phones and they're tapping everything now. So we have to teach them to tap responsibly, you know, to use their card responsibly, to do all these things responsibly. I know Pauline mentioned cash as well, and that responsibly too.
I agree with that.
Now, there is limits to the junior revolutes, as they call it. There's a limit on spending, and it also can be controlled by a parent. And I urge all parents to make sure you're in control of it. So, make sure. I don't think it's such a bad thing, Niamh.
You know? It's not the worst, but they don't. I don't think they see any value for money. It's just when you top it up for me. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
this is nearly empty. Can I have more? You know?
Well, then you're a worse parent if you just keep doing that without anything in return for it. What we should be doing is saying to the kid when they say, look, I'm going out to the pictures with my friend on Thursday or Friday or whatever day it is, or Monday. And you say, okay, that's fine. How much is that? And they go, yeah, well, it's 10 euro or whatever it is to go to the pictures, or 15 euro. I don't know when was the last time I paid to go. 15 euro to go to the pictures. You say, that's grand. Okay. I need the floor is hoovered. Thanks.
And my daughter did too, and I was, even that my grandson is making his first Holy Communion now in May. My granddaughter made it 2 years ago, and the little one is three before in September. But even birthday, even their money they get in cards, that money is taken by their mother. It's put into their post office account, and they get some back. So I said to my granddaughter the other day, I said, how much have you got in your post office now? Oh, she said it about €400. My mouth was open, like, you know, but she is, like, she's very good at money. She's very good at saving. And if she just wants something, her mother takes the money out for her. Like, she doesn't spend it willy-nilly, you know?
Yeah, well, and Pauline is right. That's what we should be doing. Teach them how to save. Teach them how to get money responsibly, not just be given it for free. That, you know, because they're never going to get money for free in their life. So they're always going to have to earn it in some way, or, you know, that it's a reward for doing something. But hang on, let me just go to John as well. John, hi. Yeah, absolutely. John, hi.
Hi, again now.
John, do you believe that parents should charge their kids something for living in the house?
I think it's pertinent for their growth as young adults to contribute to the household. Personally, I left school at the age of 14 to start my trade. At the time, this is back in 86, I was earning 40 punts, and half of that went to the household.
Yeah.
It stood to me going forward that, you know, that you're not going to get anything free in life. And there's a necessity for them to, I suppose, move forward. To be able to, again, once they're able to contribute to the parents' household, once they're out on their own, they know then to be able to, financially be that bit more secure in knowing that.
So how much should they? How much should they be? Should they be charged like a decent rent?
I wouldn't necessarily state a decent rent. I think it's more the fact that it's an education for them to be able to, you know, whatever wage that is there at the end of the week for them, there is a percentage taken and handed up. It has to be something.
No, you're talking about a grown-up working couple. You're talking about two adults there.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Yeah, so what you want is them to split the utilities, split the food expenses, and save as hard as they can. And if you can, match it. You want to get them into a system as quickly as possible to attain their own home. End up. That's what you're trying to do. You don't want to take rent off them. You want to get them to save. That's the point.
And if they were living under your roof, Pauline, and giving you a little, you know, a few quid off their bills or whatever, but they were heading out at the weekend, having a few drinks and going on a holiday in the summer as well at the same time, that wouldn't wash well, would it?
It would with me, yeah. Budget for it. They need a financial plan. That's what you need to sit down and do. Not take rent off them. The whole point of taking them under your roof is so they're not lining somebody else's pocket.
Well, no, I understand that. I agree with that.
Yeah, and if they want to save for a little holiday like anybody would, they put it in, they consider it in their weekly budget. You have to allow for that.
Okay, well, listen, unfortunately, again, I've run out of time. I do apologise, John. It's not personal, I swear to God. It just so happens that you're the last caller on each topic. It almost sounds like it's personal. John, thank you very much.
No problem, mate.
Thanks, John. Pauline, I'm Maureen and Niamh, thank you very much indeed. All right, now, we're going to go to a break. A little bit later on, by the way, I am going to be talking to our special guest this evening. If you want, and it's kind of coincidental that Pauline is talking about managing money, because I am going to be talking to Laura Ann Moore, who is a certified financial coach, financial well-being speaker, and a host of Mind Money podcast. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, that money, obviously, I suppose, is what makes the world go round, isn't it, really? You know, in every shape and fashion. It can bring you happiness, it can bring you joy, but don't get me wrong, there are people that has brought them a lot of sadness. There are people who came, there was one thing my mother used to always say years ago in relation to people, you'd know they didn't come for money. If somebody got a windfall, that they would destroy their lives because they didn't come for money. In other words, they weren't used to having money. Because with money comes a huge responsibility, of course, if you want to remain happy. you don't squander it and you don't turn into an alcoholic and you don't go out and spend it on drugs or lavish presents and lavish cars and all that kind of thing. You know, you use your intelligence. But anyway, I'm not suggesting all of you are going to win the lottery. But Laura Ann will be talking about just the average finances and how you can make ends meet and how you can make yourself happier and make your well-being better just by, you know, financial planning. Because that's what we all need, isn't it? A bit of financial planning. Because as Pauline rightly said, or I think it was Pauline or Niamh said, you know, nowadays it's just so easy to tap a card or your phone. That's what I use now, my phone all the time. You don't even know how much you're spending anymore. It's so you don't know how much is leaving your pocket. In the old days, at least you could reach into your pocket and you went, oh yeah, I've got X amount of money. What have I got? Oh God. Yeah, I don't even have a euro in my pocket. Okay. Well, because in the old days I would reach in and you'd have 70 quid or 65 pound or whatever, well, you know, or euro, sorry, of course. We used to call it pounds in my day. You would have money in your pocket. So you knew how much you had left to spend. But now they don't, unless they go to the trouble of opening an app and looking in the app to see how much they have. And as we speak now, both Zoe and Amanda are looking in their apps to see how much money they have. And they both have very despondent looking faces because I think it's probably zero because they're poor students.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.